Stories of arrogant monopolies that pull what they think are clever and ruthless moves and suddenly discover that they've stepped in it deep. They're always so satisfying, and this is one of the best ones. It's about the steamboat monopoly on Oregon's Columbia River that thought it was so clever buying out the connecting route for one of its scrappy upstarts. It ended up costing them plenty, though. I'll tell you all about it in just a second. Let me introduce myself first. My name's Finn J.D. John, and I write a newspaper column called Offbeat Oregon History, which runs every week in about a dozen newspapers around the state. I've been writing these columns since 2008, and there's a lot of them by now. Right now there's about 175 published episodes in the kitty, and so what I've started doing is every morning pulling one of those episodes out of the archive and putting it out on the daily RSS feeds. I put out a version in text and pictures for your newsreader, and I put one out in audio only for your podcatcher. Probably you know that last part because you're listening to the audio one now. Offbeat Oregon History tells the stories of Oregon history that nobody knows about. Stories that everyone has forgotten. Stories of heroes and rascals, of shipwrecks and lost gold, of Shanghai'd sailors and Skid Road bordellos and pirates and robbers and buried treasure and unsolved mysteries. And of steamboat monopolies and the clever coups where they think they're so smart and they end up getting their heads handed to them. We're going to find out about that today in a column that was published first in the newspapers on October 30th, 2011, which I'm going to read to you now. The executives in charge of Henry Villard's Oregon Railway Navigation Company no doubt thought they'd been very clever when they bought the Sternwheeler Gold Dust in 1881. They could not have been more wrong. ORN, formerly known as the Oregon Steam Navigation Company, mostly owned all the steamboats on the Columbia River, and its rates were set accordingly. But it's tough to enforce a monopoly running on a public resource such as the Columbia River. Here and there, there were still a few independents. These would compete with OSN boats, driving down prices for passengers and freight, and thereby hurting profits. In 1881, there were two such boats that were particularly annoying for the big company. Captain Uriah B. Scott's propeller-driven steamboat Fleetwood, and Captain Ernest Spencer's pint-sized sternwheeler Gold Dust. The Fleetwood brought passengers from Portland to the bottom of the Cascade Rapids, where Cascade Locks would be built a few years later. The Gold Dust picked them up from there and carried them on to the Dalles. By snapping up the Gold Dust, ORN had put both competitors out of business. There was nothing at the Cascades, just a couple ferry docks and a portage road. Nobody was going to book passage to the Cascades if he or she would be unable to continue on to the Dalles, right? Right. Scott, the sole remaining independent boat captain, found himself running a line for which there was no market. What to do? It's not clear what ORN thought he would do. Maybe they didn't think beyond just scoring this point. But what they should have thought about was the Fleetwood itself. Scott had designed the Fleetwood himself, and Scott was a gifted naval architect, probably the best designer of steamboat hulls in Oregon history. This was the fellow who'd eaten the lunch of the Willamette River Steamboat Monopoly, the People's Transportation Company, several years earlier, and done it with the Ohio, a boat so crude and ugly that it made him an object of ridicule, until he launched it and they realized it could haul freight and water less than a foot deep. Now he'd built the boat for the Columbia, and done it in typical Scott style in an unconventional way. He'd built it with a propeller drive instead of the more traditional sternwheel configuration. It was big, it was luxurious, and it was fast. Oh yes, this one was definitely built for speed and for deep water. In fact, it was built to cost ORN a lot of money and lost sales. But Scott had made a mistake by putting it on the Cascades run, which he may have done as a favor to help his friend and fellow Ohioan, Captain Spencer. By forcing Scott to move the Fleetwood, ORN gave him the opportunity to correct this mistake without leaving Spencer high and dry. And correct it, he did. Soon the Fleetwood was making the run from Portland to Astoria. This was a run for which the ORN charged passengers $5, this at a time when many working Oregonians made less than $5 a month. Scott priced his service at $2. Crickets started chirping in the Oregon Railway Navigation ticket booth. Not only was the Fleetwood far cheaper than the competition, it was more luxuriously appointed and considerably faster. Passengers shaved several hours off their travel time by choosing Scott's boat. In fact, Scott probably could have charged $6 a head and still packed them in because the Fleetwood represented their premium service. The competitors settled into a new equilibrium on the lower river, in which ORN was for once the junior player. The erstwhile monopoly had to console itself by squeezing the farmers and traders who rode its boats and trains back and forth to the Dalles and points east, a line along which OSN controlled all the portage roads and railroads and therefore couldn't really be challenged. But the Portland to Astoria route was the biggest and most profitable direct run on the river, and ORN probably found itself wishing it had left Scott alone on his Cascades run. Scott subsequently formed a company called the Columbia River and Puget Sound Navigation Company, expanding to provide service in the Seattle-Tacoma area as well. It was a very successful company, and as the era of the sternwheel riverboat came to an end, it operated the most famous riverboat on the Columbia, the enormous, plush, and speedy Bailey Gatzert, known to those who found its wake excessive and annoying as the Daily Bastard, the only Oregon riverboat that's actually had a piece of music written for it. The Bailey Gatzert made its last run in 1917, by which time the Columbia River sternwheeler era was definitely over, and had been for several years, replaced by freight and passenger service on the rails. That's all I've got for you today. You can read any archive column and subscribe to either daily feed by going to the website at www.offbeatoregon.com. Both feeds are optimized for smartphone use, but they work great on a tablet or netbook too, or even an old-fashioned computer. All the columns are covered under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. Thanks for listening, and do drop me a line if you're ever in Corvallis and have time for a cup of coffee. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. Have a great day.